Laura, welcome to The Issues.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was just writing down your notes here about self-deception.
Oh, yeah. Big one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have I've been in therapy now for 9 months, and all
is that the truth?
And that's the truth.
Okay.
And it's all coming out, and I'm going through the grieving, and I'm trying to accept, you know, things and not lie about them. And
okay, let me just take that issue, and I don't know exactly why you called yet, but let me just take what you've said so far. The reason that you're grieving has something to do with a self-deception.
Yeah.
Tell me the self-deception. And if had you faced the music or the truth sooner, you wouldn't have suffered as long.
Well, I think that some of it I really don't know. It's kind of come out, and I don't know whether I should go on to school. I don't trust myself. I've deceived myself for so many years. Do I just take a job? I'm sort of at...
Okay, how have you hurt yourself in the past?
Well, I sort of worked really hard to get something, and then I would get upset, and I'd get pissed off, and I would just go. I'd leave it, even though I worked really hard to get it.
Okay.
And I continue to do that, and I don't trust myself to want anymore. I'm afraid if I go back to school, I'll just screw that up, too.
Okay, so what do you run into? What do you run into? You try very hard. You're very focused for a time.
Yeah.
And then something happens. What happens?
I sometimes reality sets in. You know, is this really what I want? Did I check it out enough before I went in for it?
Okay.
That's been happening too.
Okay, and why don't you check it out before? Before you really get committed.
I'm emotional. I think, oh, this sounds like, you know, it's like I wanted to be in the airlines, and I was wanting to be a nurse. And
okay, so one of the things that you... One of the things that you have deceived yourself into believing is that you really don't know what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. And I want to accept the fact that I don't know, and that I...
Maybe you don't know. Or maybe you do know, but you're afraid to trust it.
Yeah, I don't trust myself.
You know, if you... These issues that come up into our lives, like the ones you're talking about, all began in interpersonal relationships. This sounds... intrapersonal, but I think it existed first in an interpersonal way. Did you trust somebody else and then they betrayed you? Was there something that happened between you and other family members to where you no longer trusted yourself? That you were raised believing that somebody always knows better than you? Don't trust yourself to know?
Yeah, well, I loved your poem you read the other day. It was about adoptions. I'm adopted. And I didn't find out till I was 20 years old. And
how did you find out?
I was moving, and I had to have a birth certificate in order to get a job. And
you looked at the birth certificate and
you
realized?
They finally, yeah, had to give me one. You know, had to show it to me.
Your parents?
Yeah, my mother.
And so, all this time, they had been lying to you?
Oh, yeah. And that was really hard.
Okay.
That was very hard.
And so how does... I want to bring you back on the other side, because I want to find out how believing one thing and then all of a sudden finding out something different, how that is related to today, okay, in your life? So stay with me. My name is John Jolliffe. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about the lie and the truth on the next issue of Life. This is John Jolliffe, and we're talking to Laura. Laura and I were talking about her adoption, and before we were talking about her adoption, we were talking about she commits to something. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, but you commit to something, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself either disinterested or you become upset, and then you walk away from it, and so you're afraid to continue trusting that this is the right direction, and you have a hard time committing yourself to any future plans because it could just repeat again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
The other shoe and all of that kind of analogy. And then you started telling me that you were 20 years old. You're now 49. Is that right?
Yes.
You were 20 years old when you were told for the first time, not told, you discovered that you were adopted and your parents had been deceiving you all along. And so I'm asking the question, how being deceived all this time? And it's not just the fact that you were deceived, but what goes into the dynamics, what goes into the superstructure of that deception on the part of your parents. How does that affect you so that you're struggling today? What's the link?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I had to depend on myself. And I went at it in a very angry way. You know, I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove. Well, I've gone through a stage where I don't want to do that anymore, and I'm working through my anger. And now,
well, you said you had to trust yourself.
Yeah. And
but you also described your father as being very unhappy and very strict.
Yeah.
So who taught you to trust yourself, and how?
I don't think they did. They didn't.
Okay, so all of a sudden you got the job without the training.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll show you.
All right.
That attitude.
Okay, so you said that your mother didn't want to lose you. Later she admitted to keeping you in the dark because she didn't want to lose you. She was afraid that you might have a temper tantrum, mm-hmm. and then just leave her, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Mother didn't trust her own goodness, the quality of her love for you, she didn't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, she needed to keep you in the dark so you would go no place else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, so her fears, she didn't really know herself well. She didn't know the quality of her giving. She had fears. And so in a sense, you were afraid as well. You may have been angry, but just as much anger as you had fear and self-doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so do you keep running into your fears?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what's happened now. I can't bear them anymore. I mean, I just give up now. I used to, when I was younger, I could just blast through them. Now I can't.
Well, you had a lot of anger when you were young, and therefore...
Oh, yeah.
You could even commit to doing something or take a position because of your anger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great motivator.
But yeah. Now, when fear is not as good a motivator.
No.
Fear tends to cause us to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't motivate us towards, it causes us to avoid.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is part of what's going on for you then.
Mm-hmm.
The anger mixed in with the fear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's where I think you need to be doing the work, is on the fear. And asking the question, you know, what is my direction? I want to trust my direction. I want to form an opinion and then look to people who you can have confidence that will give you an honest response.
Mm-hmm.
And get feedback from other people.
Would that be like the counselor? Or?
Could be a counselor, could be a good trusted friend, but make sure you have the first opinion. Learn to trust your opinion, but don't be the rebellious one who isolates herself, who doesn't seek second and third opinions. That's where young people who are angry and want to set off and run away from home or become autonomous, or not autonomous, but independent of their parents early on, is that they have more anger motivating them than common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and form an opinion. You're entitled to that, and you probably have a lot of good opinions. But then... reach out to other people and get feedback on that opinion or that direction that you want to take in your life.
Mm-hmm. And trust them.
Well, trust yourself to know good feedback when you hear it. Trust yourself. Always trust yourself to know good feedback when you hear it. Or people who have fears and self-doubts. You probably knew that your mother wasn't being as candid with you about a lot of things, but you didn't think it was about your adoption. Okay, Laura?
Okay.
I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yep, very important. Learn to trust yourself. And that doesn't mean that you come up with both the question and the answers and you trust that and ask for no feedback. The Bible's very clear that where there's a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, plans aren't frustrated, and there's hope. We need each other. But we don't need somebody to tell us what to do. That's our job, to figure our direction. And then trust you know enough about your direction to then seek feedback. And then trust yourself enough to know when you're getting good, honest feedback or you're just getting somebody else's bias and prejudice. There are a lot of people out there that are so afraid to take the risks that you are asking to get feedback for that they'll contaminate your taking this risk by being pessimistic. Trust that you know the pessimists, the stinking thinkers out there.